Azam Ehsani, the CEO of Valour. Great to have you in my sights. And just 2 years ago, you were looking at $17,000. It must be a very different feeling when you are walking into the room with a crypto exchange at $100,000.
It is indeed. I think the sentiment has turned. I think a lot of the naysayers who at the time of, there was an individual who said that at $16,000, the price was $17,000 too high. So a lot of people thinking that it would be going to zero. But if you look at the history of Bitcoin, it is very volatile. It will continue to be volatile, but it's on an upward trajectory. So we're close to $100,000 as we talk right now. The price is just over $97,000 after touching an all-time high of about $99,800. A lot of people seeing that as a destination, but if you take a step back, really my view is that this is just a milestone on a much larger ascent of what I believe will be one of the most valuable assets that humanity has ever known. And if you look at the market price of gold, the market capitalization of gold, and if you were to say that Bitcoin and gold would meet market cap parity, that would imply a market cap of or a price per Bitcoin of about $899,000. But as you and I know, things that are digital, that have the beautiful qualities of the digital realm where they can be transferred instantaneously at very low cost, and with Bitcoin maintaining its scarcity, I think there's a good chance that it goes way, way higher than that. But with a lot of volatility in between. So I think we are on a journey. Price will go up, price will come down. It doesn't change the fundamentals of what this asset class promises to humanity to really revolutionize its financial system.
Let's explore the volatility a little more, because do we anticipate that it can come all the way back down to $17,000, $16,000? I mean, is that the level of volatility we need to be able to stomach?
You know, historically, we were talking about, you know, in the early days, let's say, you know, a couple of years into Bitcoin's birth, say in the, you know, 2011, 2012-ish, you know, you would see, you know, pullbacks of 95% sometimes. In some cases, it was a 99% pullback. More recently, the most, you know, let's say in the last 5, 6 years, we've seen pullbacks of, let's say, 85%. The last pullback was maybe about 80%. But I think we're talking about a different narrative right now. We're talking about, you know, the superpower of the world, still the United States of America, talking about creating a Bitcoin strategic reserve. We're talking about presidential candidates in Poland that are promising that if they get elected, they will also institute a Bitcoin strategic reserve for their country. We're talking about China, who up until very recently was banning cryptocurrencies. A court just came out in the last 48 hours to talk about how owning cryptocurrency and Bitcoin is not illegal at all. In fact, it's legal for the Chinese to hold Bitcoin, which is changes in narrative. We're talking about, you know, the largest institutions offering ETFs, you know, to, you know, you can go onto your brokerage account in the United States and buy. We're talking about the highest and the fastest growing ETF in history being the Bitcoin ETFs, right? Which actually, the just maybe something your viewers don't know. Number one is that the valuation of Bitcoin right now has exceeded the valuation of global supplies of silver. So it's more valuable than silver. And then on top of that, it's actually larger than the assets under management of the gold ETF in the United States. This is the BlackRock ETF of gold versus the BlackRock ETF of Bitcoin. It's now larger. The BlackRock ETF of gold is 19 years old. The BlackRock ETF of Bitcoin is less than a year old. So we're talking about shifts in kind of mindsets and in viewing this asset. A few years ago, this was the asset that was behind all the illicit activity of the world, you know, which was the wrong narrative, a false narrative. Now we're talking about an asset that's a hedge against inflation, that could be a potential replacement of gold, a potential replacement for treasuries as a safe haven. So I think pullbacks of 85%, are they possible? Absolutely. And I expect pullbacks to happen. But I think the trajectory is up and to the right.
Now, Stafford Marcy has spoken to me about stacking And he explained this concept as keep buying, right? And
yes.
stacking your portfolio, my little tiny Bitcoin portfolio as it stands. Do you also advocate in favor of that strategy, i.e., it's different to taking profits right now?
Correct. So I think, so a couple of things. Number one is we're living in a very unequal world where there are people that have discretionary income and people that don't have discretionary income. I would not advise people to go and buy Bitcoin if they are saving to pay their rent in a few days or their healthcare bills in the next couple of months. I think that would be unwise. With the volatility, they could be doing very, very well. They could also be losing a lot of money and not being able to pay their bills. So that's the first point. The second point, if you do have discretionary money, the question I have is if you're selling Bitcoin at 100,000 for rands or for US dollars, what are you doing with those rands and US dollars? Are you going to be holding them in rands and US dollars over the next 10 years and hoping that that asset will appreciate? Are you trying to buy treasuries, which have had a real yield of negative 5% over the last few years? So my point of view is if you've got a long-term horizon, 5 years, 10 years, I don't think there are many assets in the world that can promise anywhere near the anticipated returns of Bitcoin. So if you're trying to take some money off the table because you have immediate expenses or you need to do something with the money, absolutely. But if you don't know what you're going to be doing and you're still looking at your capital as an investment vehicle, my question to you is, what else are you putting it in? If you don't have a good answer, better to keep it in Bitcoin.
And buy more.
And buy more as well. I think one has to be careful, right? The volatility is always there. It's easy to have these conversations at 100,000 US dollars or close to 100,000 US dollars or 1.8 million rand. We're just shy of 1.8 million rand per Bitcoin right now. Without doubt, we'll see the volatility. The thesis has never been to change. I mean, the same thesis I've been sharing with you since it was, you know, a few thousand US dollars. So as I said, I think there is space for diversification, but you need to understand the pros and the cons and what you may be giving up by diversifying outside of Bitcoin.
Fazam, you spoke earlier about crypto appointments, and I want to focus in on Trump's crypto appointments and to what extent that is actually fueling the rally that we're seeing. There's also a lot of talk about the US now leading the regulatory trajectory when it comes to Bitcoin. Perhaps just getting your thoughts there.
Yeah, I think it's a very strong narrative. You know, there are a lot of presidential candidates or political or politicians that talk about things and that they won't necessarily institute them when it comes time to do so. But it seems that there is a lot of willpower for this. There are a lot of people around President Trump that have been in the cryptocurrency space and Bitcoin for a long time, who have positions, who see the benefits of this. So I think this will be happening. I think that, you know, who knows when exactly will happen within the next year or two. I think we will start seeing that Bitcoin reserve actually start being instituted. The United States already owns over 200,000 Bitcoin, and there are many calls to start increasing that up towards a million and higher than that. So I think the political, you know, this is very different. The last 4 years have been very painful for the cryptocurrency space, particularly in the United States. Gary Gensler, who was at the head of the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, you know, he has been, let's just say, a headwind, to put it kindly, to the crypto industry in the United States. He, in the last 12 hours, has just tendered his resignation. So he will be resigning on the day that Trump comes into power. And there is every expectation that the next SEC chairperson will actually understand what cryptocurrencies offer for the world, crypto assets offer to the world, and also understand the benefit of having a clear regulatory framework for the United States to be a leader in that in this industry. Now, I think when you look at that and you're another country, you got to ask yourself, well, wait a minute, if we've been thinking about banning it or not having a very pro-crypto or Bitcoin stance, is that the right attitude and the right narrative and the right position to have as a nation state compared to, you know, powers like the United States, Russia, China? If there's one thing that unites now the global powers of the world, it is the understanding that Bitcoin as an asset is extremely important strategically, financially, politically, for the stature of nation states going forward.
Azam, final question. It's not just about crypto. I mean, it's not just about Bitcoin. It's about crypto in general and whether you should be playing the whole spectrum or do you isolate yourself just to play in the Bitcoin space?
I think absolutely. There are a lot of assets in the crypto space, thousands of crypto assets. Again, I would say that we've had a Cambrian explosion of these assets. I think there's a good chance that many of these assets go to zero, right? Some of them are not based on anything. Some of them are frauds or scams, etc. One has to be very careful on the tail end. But there are some good crypto assets out there. You know, some of the top crypto assets have been performing better than Bitcoin has. Now, whether that continues or not is a separate question. So one can talk about some diversification outside of Bitcoin within other crypto assets. There are other people that are called Bitcoin maximalists who think that, no, you should stay in Bitcoin only. I don't particularly have a strong view. I think that the market and individuals need to make that decision themselves. But you're right. It's more than just Bitcoin. There's programmable money. There's other narratives. There's smart contracts. There's, you know, an idea that our financial system will talk about streaming payments in the future, just like we're streaming music at the moment. So I think there's still a long way to go, which is why I still think we're in a nascent stage of this industry. I think there's a lot that humanity will still benefit from. And we're in the early stages, so let's see where things go from here.
Well, let's see where we go. And again, putting that $899,000 price target, let's see. We'll keep chatting over the next coming years.
I look
right?
forward to it. Absolutely.
Fazam, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you joining us here on Biz News. Fazam Ihsani is the CEO of Valour.